Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we are so excited. One more day. He has allowed us to enter in. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your name. We ask you, O God, to have your way in this service this morning, as always. We ask you to speak to us through your service today. And allow us to hear your word. And Father, we will be blessed to continue to give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' holy name, we pray.
Hear what you hear.
God to make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way.
There's no other hope that I me, Lord. Lead me home. Take my arms and let your hands show me your way. Show the way to lead inside your heart. Oh, my day.
My light, Lord Jesus. Let me stay by your guiding light. Father, we bless you, we praise you, we glorify your name, we exalt you, Jesus, because you alone is worthy to be exalted. You alone is worthy to be lifted up, oh God. You said if you be lifted up from this earth, you'll draw all men unto you. We pray today, oh God, that you will continue to speak to us, oh God. We are hungry. And we are thirsty for righteousness, O God. Lord, speak to us. Use your servants today as always to enlighten us to that greater anointing that's in you, Lord God, because you are the good shepherd who cares for the sheep. Bless their eyes, bless their lips, and bless their ears of clay, and allow them to hear and see and speak your truths, O God. Lord Jesus, let it be none of them, but all of you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as you speak today, God, we will hear. And as we hear, we will do, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, come in. We invite you to have your way. Have your way in our midst today, as always. Stir like the atmosphere. Oh, God, we ask you to sanctify the atmosphere now for your word, that as the enemy comes in to try to disturb this word, he will be disturbed. They will be disturbed in the mighty name of Jesus by the power and the anointing of your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence right now. For you say, wherever two or three is gathered in your name, you are in the midst. We know you're here. We know you're here by the Spirit. We ask your forgiveness for any thought, any word, any action, any deed, O God, that we may have done, known or not known. We repent, O God, from the depths of our soul, O God. And we ask you to forgive us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, Lord. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come on in, Bishop James and Apostle Linda Washington. I am going on mute. Allow the Lord Jesus to have his way in you and through you. Come on in.
Praise the Lord God Almighty. Almost tell
praise
me
the Lord. Thank praise
you
the Lord.
For the day. Thank you, Apostle, for the introduction. But most of all, thank our Lord Jesus Christ for waking us on this morning that we might come forth with his word straight from his mouth, not from ours, but from his mouth. Oh, Father God, we give you worship, praise, and all honor, all glory belongs only to you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing those who are on this line today. Oh, God, and those who have not received you as their Savior, oh, Father God, spare them, Lord. Spare them until they do so. On this day, Father God, we pray that they do come in and accept you as their Lord and Savior. I'm asking them to go right now to the book of Romans, chapter 10, and read verses, chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. Read it to yourself, but speak it softly. Speak it out loud. You don't have to yell. Put your phone on mute. Speak it out loud and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior before I even do it at the end of the service. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. And for all the brothers and sisters who have strayed away from the faith, rededicate your life to Christ Jesus. You know you have to say it out loud. That's why the scripture says it's the word is near you. It's in your mouth, which means you have to speak it because the devil cannot read your mind. He can inject thoughts to you, but he cannot read your mind. Don't give him an opportunity to do so while the message is going on. Don't give him an opportunity to do so. Accept him as your Lord and Savior right now. But I'm going to recall, I'm going to call again later on at the end of the sermon. But by that time, many of you will have received him as your Savior because we don't know when God will call us. We don't know. Would you pardon me for just a few seconds? Just a few seconds. I'm going to go on mute for a few seconds.
Bishop, I can't hear you. Your phone gone down? You're still on the line, but I can't hear you.
Yes, sir. I'm still on the line, sir. I'm trying to get this chair to move. It's stopping on me. I'm trying to get up to where I can get to a pastor. She's on the way to meet me. Just a few seconds and she'll be here.
Glory to God, hallelujah, praise the living God, our Savior, our Jesus Christ, who is our all in all. We thank God that we are here with you once again this morning, and we thank God for all that he has already done, all he will do, and all he is going to do right now and has been doing. Glory be to God, he is our now, he is with us all the time, amen. Glory be to God. But I hope everyone on the line is having a great morning, afternoon, night so far. We are over here, glory be to God, living in Jesus Christ, living in his peace, living a life, hallelujah, knowing that he is our all in all. And that's truly a way to live, having that knowledge, having that wisdom, having that understanding, knowing that Jesus Christ is our all in all. And so greetings to all of you, our brothers and sisters. We are, once again, I say, happy to be here with you. And I pray that you got your ears on, you got your spiritual ears on, glory be to God, to hear what the Lord has to say. And it's just really going over what we do every day. We just talk about the word. We talk about the gospel. We talk about the word every day. And we hope and pray that there are many on this line that are living the word, not just talking about the word, but living the word. And so, Apostle, thank you again, sir, for allowing us to come today. We appreciate you. We appreciate everything you do for the kingdom. And we honor the work that you are doing, and we honor you as our friend and our brother. Truly, we honor you as a brother. Amen. But mostly, we are happy to know that you are one that does know that Jesus is your all in all. Amen. It's important to know that. It's one thing to say that, but it's another thing to know Jesus. We must know him, and we know him by our experiences with him, and many of us have experiences but still not really know Jesus. Amen. I know many people might not agree with that, but it's true. We experience Jesus. We experience our salvation. We experience being born again. Some of us have been filled with the Holy Spirit, all of that, but still do we know Jesus. We talked about people on yesterday, and I know a lot of people that doesn't sit well with some people when we talk about the fact that there are people who are living a life of a lie by claiming to know Jesus Christ and not know him, and by causing other people to stumble by the way we do ministry, by the way we walk. We're not really walking in what we're talking about. Glory be to God. We're giving it a good talk. We're giving it a good lip service, but we're not giving ourselves the very, very wonderful opportunity of really walking with Jesus and learning about the amazing person that he really is. But truly, everything he has done is amazing. And we thank God for his amazing grace. So we're on the same subject, Christ our all in all, Jesus Christ, Yahweh, our all in all. And when we say he's our all in all, that means simply what it says. He's supposed to mean all to us. We are supposed to relate to him as our all in all, know him as our all in all. But when we act the way some folks act, you know, they say one thing, but they're doing something else, then we don't see that truth that's supposed to be lived out, knowing that he's our all in all. He is in us. And when he's in us and we do him, when we do Jesus, when we know that we are doing what he said to do, then we know that he's our all in all. It's very simple. So we're going to talk some more about it. We're going to start again in Colossians. I'm going back to one of my favorite books. I'm going back to Colossians today, and that's where we get this message from Colossians chapter 3. We've been there for some time, and we go back and forth to Colossians, a very, very good teaching book. It all is, but this one is so relative to the topic here. We're at this topic, but we've had some other topics where we went to Colossians chapter 3. Glory be to God. So let's go there. I don't believe some people really, really get it that we are in a fight for our lives. We are in a fight for eternal life. That's right. Jesus has already done all that is necessary for us to have all that we need to live a victorious life, and also to enter into what he is preparing for us now, or has prepared for us when we leave this place, because we're only sojourners here. We're in a pilgrimage. That's all we are. We're sojourning through. Glory be to God. This is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven, and this is not really our home. This is just a place where we live. Amen. So we must abide in Christ at all times, and he will abide in us. And when we are doing that all the time, when we just wake up knowing that the Lord is with me, he's my shepherd, I shall not want, we begin our day that way. We begin declaring that, Lord, I thank you that you have satisfied, you have provided for every need, and I know that this day is going to be one of much satisfaction, because I already know that everything for my day is already done. Everything for my life is already done. And it is every day. It's not just sometimes. What is she doing? Excuse me. Okay. Praise the Lord. And so we go back to Colossians right now. I'm going to turn there. We're just going to get started and get finished a little early today. Praise God. If the Holy Spirit allow us to get finished a little bit earlier than we normally do. But we're going to go through and take our time at any rate. We are not trying to rush God. Of course, we cannot rush God. We want God to have his way. Glory, glory be to God. Hallelujah. So let's go to our book of Colossians here. Let's turn the page to Colossians chapter 3, if you will. Turn there with me. It would be good. It would be good for you if you do. Amen. All right. I had it there, but I went someplace else.
Let me just say something from the...
Sure. Say whatever you feel.
Let me say something that I've told people many times, you know. Yes, people, do you know Jesus? Yes, I know Jesus. Do you know of Jesus or do you know Jesus? There's a difference.
Amen.
A lot of people know Jesus. And it's, oh, yeah, Jesus, yeah, Son of God. But do you know Jesus? Now, a perfect example is a song that's sung at Christmas time about we three kings of Orient are bearing gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Only fit for a king. They knew Jesus. When he came into the world, they knew Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If they wouldn't have, it had never been a long journey to bring gifts,
mm-hmm.
bearing gifts for worthy of a king.
Amen.
They knew he was the king of kings and the Lord.
Of course they did. That's why they went.
That's why they would have a very
far.
Mm-hmm. Very, very far over land and sea.
Yeah.
They traveled a long ways.
Yes, they did.
And traveled by three or four different modes of transportation. Back in those days, you walked, rode a camel, traveled on boats or whatever. They traveled across the desert sands, the heat, the day, and the cold at night. They knew Jesus was sent from God. They knew Jesus was God. But they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, they'd have never gone. And it'd make it even more so. Herod wanted them to come back and report, but the king, they took a different route to go back home because they knew, hey, he's up to no good. This child is sent by God himself. He is God. They knew it. Think about that song. He came up on the midnight cliff, glorious star. They followed the star. And it led him right to where Jesus was.
Amen.
How could that not be for real?
That's for real. Gotta know
Lord,
it.
Lord, help us all, Father God.
You gotta know it. It's
you
for real.
To know Jesus.
And you gotta know he's for real.
For
and you gotta
real.
Do the real. You gotta be about the real.
Oh.
Amen. We can talk a good talk, but are we doing the walk? And
walk.
And we can walk a good walk, but we gotta do it in the will
live.
Of the Lord.
Right, right.
Amen, amen. So so we're back to Colossians. Right now I'm there. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in our sight. You are our strength and our redeemer, dear God.
Yes, you are.
Speak, Lord.
Speak, Almighty One. Let your power fall and your voice be heard, O God, and we are grateful. Yes, we are grateful. Amen. Hallelujah. There's none like the Lord.
He is God Almighty, don't you know?
Hallelujah.
How can we get you to understand?
Only Jesus can give the understanding. We're just delivering a mail. We are the vessels of the Lord.
Yeah,
but only Jesus can open up the mind to understand. Amen. We have to open up the book and then give it all to Jesus and ask him for divine wisdom and understanding.
Yes, Lord.
That it almost goes without saying. That's just what we have to do. Glory be to God. So in this day and time, more than any other time that I can remember, this war is so intense. It's so very, very intense. And we have to be very aware of what's going around us. We should be. But some people are just like they're floating somewhere and I'm just going to live the way I want to live and do what I want to do. I'm on my own. I'm just on my own. But when we feel like I'm on my own, then Jesus said, you're going to pay for being on your own.
Don't pray for
and
me.
You're going to pay with eternal damnation. Hallelujah.
It'll be a long time before he tells us not to pray for us.
Amen.
But let's go. We're supposed praise to pray, God. For, pray for everyone.
Amen.
God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He did. Now, who would sacrifice their own child to save everybody?
Only God. Who is worthy? No one else. Only Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise your holy name, Father.
Hallelujah.
Put a joke into there, Holy Ghost electricity through me just now. Thank you, Father. Again, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glorious.
You want to turn that room?
I want to sit down here, but I don't want to sit on the cushion.
That's okay. Sit on it. It doesn't matter. They have to go in the washing
machine. You want to hold this cup on?
Yes, I will. Take your time. Lord, be to your holy name.
I'm rushing.
Chapter 3. Verse 11. Here we go.
Thank you.
So in this scripture, this chapter, this verse, Paul declares that Christ is all and in all. And it relates to a new life, a new self, a new way. And that new self would constantly declare that Jesus Christ is all in all.
Hallelujah.
He's my all in all. He's done all in all. Amen? So no matter what we do in life, no matter what our ethnicity or our social backgrounds or our economic standing, no matter what, we must know and believe that Jesus is our all in all, no matter where you come from, no matter where you've been. Hallelujah. He's our all in all, and he'll get us through all. Amen. And he will give all, supply all. That's the provider that we have, and so much more. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, we go there. Chapter 1, verse 15. Paul tells us that God, Paul tells us that God's Son, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God.
Hallelujah.
Then in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, and I'm reading from the NASB, it was the Father's good pleasure, he says, for all the fullness to dwell in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
And then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it reads, for in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form.
That's what I forget.
And our only way of knowing God who dwells in the light, mm-hmm. that unapproachable light to whom no man has seen or can see.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even look into that light.
No,
so let's read what 1 Timothy says. 1 Timothy, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion.
Okay.
So we got to know him. We know the Father through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus told his disciple Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Hallelujah. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Now, yesterday, we were talking about people that obviously didn't see, that obviously is still blind. We talked about how people just do whatever they want. You know, it's like we believe in Jesus, but we don't do what we believe. So we said a lot about that yesterday, about how people are still walking in the flesh and we're supposed to be walking in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a lot of different places yesterday, but I talked about that first because it would lead into this part of the subject, because we wanted to get that part out the way first. But now we're going to talk about those that know the Lord, those that know that the walk and the fight is all worth it. It's all worth it because we know one day we're going to be with him forever. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. We bless his holy name.
Jesus, yes, yes.
So we learn how to fight. We learn how to fight for our lives. Hallelujah. Through the one who gave us all of the armor that we need. He says one of the things that he is within this all in all is he says that I'm your battle fighter. Some people say I'm your battle axe. I'll fight all your battles. But we got to know that we got to do our part. So he says he'll fight the battle for us, but we must know what the armor is. Amen. And some of us who are warriors, we are doing just that. We are warring in the spirit. We are praying. We are waking up praying. We are going to bed praying.
Amen.
We're praying all through the day. And because we know that's what keeps us in a place with God where we will be safe. And where we're praying for others so they can be saved,
yes.
Praying for others so they can be saved, safe, and blessed through the Lord. Because those prayers will bring others into God. Those prayers will bring deliverance because he is a deliverer. That's another thing that he is. But today, we're going to talk about L.L. Young. He's the all in all. He's El Elyon, he's called. And he is the God Most High. That's what El Elyon is. So we continue to look to the Most High. For those of you who highly esteem our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know specifically that he is El Elyon. He is the great I am that I am. And so we're going to go to a story about that. Glory be to God. But make sure that we're on our duty, we're on our job, that we're doing everything we need to do in order for the blessing to flow through us and flow upon us, flow through us, and so that other people can be blessed. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you, God. So, in Isaiah chapter 46 is where we find the name El Elyon, the Most High God. Isaiah chapter 48, starting at verse 9 to 10. He says, I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. My purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure.
Glory.
He said, I'll do it. And God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of a man that should ever repent, that he should ever repent. His first name in Scripture, he's introduced as Elohim, our Elohim. And we can spend all of our days right here into eternity talking about Elohim. Hallelujah. As we ponder on all of the Scriptures, hallelujah. We are talking about Elohim. We are talking about El Elyon, our Most High God. Hallelujah. We are talking about Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Holy Redeemer, our Mediator, our Intercessor. We have, he's all in all. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And that wonderful name, this powerful name, Elohim. Of all the names of God, no other name means as much to me, as this one, because it's his name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's a name that's caused me to be able to live with what I've done in my past.
Hallelujah.
Do you hear me? Hallelujah. I can live now with no guilt. Glory be to God. I can live now praising God and just thanking God for all that he's done for me and not keep going back. Why should I go back? It's totally asinine to go back and to go back into the old past, things that we've been delivered from. If your old clothes have been burned up, if you put them into the fire, the Holy Ghost will burn up that old stuff, hallelujah, to give you a new life. Why do we go back to the old? Why do we want to go back? Because, see, that flesh is never satisfied. Oh, but when we become satisfied in Jesus Christ, we're not going to follow the flesh dictates anymore. Whatever the flesh is trying to say to do, we're going to say no to you because, see, I know the name above every name. I live with him. I live for him. I live to do for him. Glory be to God. So I know that he's my all in all. I'm not going to follow that flesh anymore. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So it's helped me. It has freed me from even the, I mean, I won't say, every now and then I think about the things I used to do. But I don't stay there, and I don't want to go back there. That's old. That's over, kaput, done with. My God, I give my testimonies because those testimonies will bring others perhaps to a reality that I'm a sinner too. Glory be to God. And I need Jesus Christ to be my Holy Redeemer.
Amen.
I need him to be my Savior. I need him to be my all in all in all. He is the all in all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's a name that has sustained me through every trial and every storm of my life, Bishop. Every storm of our lives, he has sustained me. He has come to help me. I know him to be our ever-present help in the time of trouble. I really do know it because he came, because he did. He met me right where I stood. He met me where I stood in my life, where I stood in the trial, where I stood in the adversity, where I was there in pain or whatever it was. He was there. Hallelujah. My almighty, all-sufficient God was there. He's my all in all. When we keep this in our mind, you know how we keep it? We keep it by doing it. We keep it by doing what God said to do. So we keep that. We live that. His name empowers me to face whatever may lie ahead in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in my past, in my present now, because he's everywhere present at the same time, and he is present in you if you know him the way I'm talking about. If you know him to be your all in all, he's right here in your presence. In your presence and in your present time right now. And you know him to be the one that is also in your future.
Hallelujah. It's so good to know the strong tower. It's so good to know that he is the one that has just encompassed your whole life, and he is keeping you inside of that tower, that secret place, hidden in Christ Jesus. Do you know him like that? Got to know him like that. Hallelujah. So El Elyon, God Most High, it is the one thing to know that God created the earth. But then, did he wind it up? Was it just wound up just for that time? And then did he just walk away from what he created? Does he just walk away from those that he made? Does he just walk away from us when we need him? Is he just walking away back and forth, back and forth? No, he's not doing that. He's with us always, he said. I will be with you always. Glory be to God. I will never leave you. You are not alone. I am with you. I hope this is helping somebody today, because some people are not just thinking about it like that, you know, because I don't see Jesus, but we got to know that we worship him in spirit and truth, Bishop. We don't see Jesus, I mean, physically see him standing in front of us, but I can remember. I remember Jesus. I remember you, Jesus. Every day I know you, Jesus, and I know everything you've done, and I know that you're in my future. Hallelujah. I know you're in my now. I know you're my new now. You're my new now. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Every day is new. Every day is new. Glory be to God. Today is not like yesterday. Unless you don't know about the new now. Unless you don't know about the new mercy. Our mercy seat is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Unless you don't know about the new mercy that's with us every day. This is your new now. This is your new day. This is a day that's just like you have a canvas, and the canvas is just blank, my God, and you can just start painting a new picture. Glory be to God. You can just start painting. This is a new picture now, right, Bishop? This is a new picture. It's not the one from yesterday. This is a new one. It's my new now. Glory be to God. I'm not even going to look back at yesterday and worry about what I did yesterday, if I didn't do it right, if I didn't say what was right, if I didn't want to think. Whatever it is, I'm not going to go there. God, I thank you for today. I thank you. You're my new now. You're my day. Hallelujah. You are the day star. Glory be to God. You are the one in my life that keeps me every day. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. New mercy. New mercy every day. He pours out his mercy on us all, even on a sinner. Hallelujah. Where sin abides, grace abides even more. My God, and he's pouring out his mercy on you. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. You know, we could talk about all the other prophets. We can talk about them. We can talk about all the other people that, oh, I went and I listened to this message and I listened to that message, and, oh, this was profound and that was profound. But what is more exciting? What is more beautiful? Nothing is more exciting or more beautiful are more profound than talking about the one who saved us, the one who raised us out of death and sin. Hallelujah. Raised us up out of the pit, my God, where we were in the pit. We were in the miry clay, my God, and he raised us up, my God. And as we humble ourselves, he's going to lift us up as we cast all our cares before him. Glory be to God. As we throw it all to Jesus, just throw it out. Cast means to throw. In the Greek, it means to throw it out. Throw it at him. Give it to him. It's not too much for God, but it's too much for us to handle. We can't handle all that comes out at us. We can't handle everything that's thrown at us. We need our all in all, our Jesus Christ. He's in it all. He's in it with us, and he's already won the victory for us so we can stay free in our life, so we can stay free. Don't go back. Don't go back like a dog. Don't go back to the old vomit. Don't go back to your vomit. Don't go back to the forgetfulness. That's right. Hallelujah. So we
trying to pour it in our mind. That's
so he has delivered us. and continue to deliver us from all evil.
So
it's one thing just to know that God is the creator. It's one thing just to know about it, to know about the fact that he created everything, to know that he made man. Even that is a wonderful revelation, because some people don't believe he made us. They believe we evolved from somewhere, from some animals.
That's
and some, you know, they don't, yeah, right. They keep believing that you're going to believe yourself right into damnation. My God.
Ooh, it's hot in this place. Yeah.
Very hot.
Uh-huh.
And whatever you think you were made from or evolved from, that's going to die too.
Yeah.
Whatever the, my God, that's going to burn too.
That's
oh,
right.
Glory to God. But we must keep our minds stayed on Jesus Christ, our Prince of Peace. We know him as our Prince of Peace, but let's go on with this. He sustains what is, listen, can he sustain what the greatest mind of all conceived, and can he sustain what his great hand set in motion? Can he fulfill his purposes for his creation? See, he made me and he gave me life. I know that, but he strong enough, wise enough to touch every individual moment of my day, my life? Yes. My God, it's a big yes for me. Hallelujah, because I experience him every day. You know, people, is he really aware? Just like John was saying, is he really the one? Or should we see it? Or should we expect another? Is he, you know, sometimes even Christians will ask a question like that, because, see, what I'm going through, what I'm experiencing right now, I need some help right now. Do you know him to be your ever-present help in a time of trouble? My God, because when you really know that, you will know the answer to that question. Glory be to God. Yes, he is there, but he's going to come in his own time. We cannot make God do what we want him to do. We cannot force God to do what we want him to do, when we want him to do it, and how we want him to do it. And we got to keep this mindset, this concept, all through our lives. We have to know, even if you're saying in your mind, well, Lord, when are you coming, Lord? I need you right now, Lord. Why haven't I felt that visitation? My God, why am I still feeling this pain, Lord? Why am I still going through this grueling time in my life? It's just grueling. It's grievous. Go ahead, Bishop. I can't hear what you're saying.
You have food on your table. You're breathing.
Yes.
You're looking outside.
Yes.
You can see the grass and the trees.
Amen.
And the birds.
Amen.
Walking around. Why can't you believe it?
Amen.
Oh, my God. Help us all, Lord. Let us not have any doubts.
All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So God's great hand is in motion, and he can fulfill all his purposes for all his creation, because he made us all.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us life.
Yes, he did.
Hallelujah. You know, I used to, it brings to mind something very foolish that the older people used to say. I gave you life and I'll take it. Nah.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. You never gave the life. You didn't, and you can't take it.
No.
Jesus, only God gives life and God takes life.
He's the Ten Commandments.
But they used to do that to try to scare. My mama never said that to me, but I heard people say that. My grandmother never said that. I'll take you out. No, it was by the mercy and the design and the plan of
God.
A gift. A life was given. A life was given. And surely Jesus is a gift to us. Glory be to God. I thank God this morning that I am aware, and praying that people become aware. Hallelujah. Become aware of all that God is. We want to experience him as our all in all. We want to do that because when we do that, it'll help us deal with life, life that's going on right now. Not yesterday. We don't need to deal with that anymore. Not unless you're still in your yesterday, if you're still in your yesterday, Bishop, if people are still in their yesterday, then they're still dealing with yesterday. When God has something so great for you now, God is the God right now. Hallelujah. The Bible says now faith. You got to have some now faith. Don't worry about yesterday. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now you know Jesus Christ has already provided everything. There's your evidence. When you know he's your all in all, your faith gives you that knowledge. Your faith has you to believe and know that Jesus is your all in all. So there it is right there. You're my now, God. Hallelujah. You're my new now because I have a new life. I'm not living in that old life anymore. I don't want to go back to the garbage. I don't want to go back to the film. I'm not going back to no vomit like a dog. I'm going to stay right here and be blessed. No matter how long it takes me to rise above whatever it is to rise out of, wherever I am that I want to get out of, hallelujah, or whatever I'm doing that I don't want to do anymore, God is going to come and give you what you need to move forward. That's what he does. Keep moving forward. That's the mindset. I'm not looking back at all because that's only dead. That stuff is dead. It's like the people say, water under the bridge is dead. Glory be to God. You need your new now. Hallelujah. We're talking about Christ all in all. Christ is all in all. Amen. So I say yes because I don't have any doubts. I say yes to God. You are the one. You are the one that I know for sure is my all in all, God. So I say yes, God, I know. I know who you are. He is God the Most High. When he's the Most High, we're not going to look up to people like they're your highness. Like we were talking about yesterday, all because you got so much of this and so much of that. You're so smart. Hallelujah. There'll be not another one like me. There'll be another one like this person I heard. He's so smart, you know. But you know what? Even those that's so smart, they can be another that's smarter. Even those that's done something great, there'll be another one that can do something greater. My God, because God is God, and he chooses to do whatever he chooses to do and whomever he chooses to do it with. You know, some people have said, it's been said that Einstein would be the greatest, highest intellect, and that's a lie from hell because only God is the highest in intelligence and everything. He's the highest in all. He's all in all. Hallelujah. But it is said that nobody's ever been smarter than Einstein. But God, hallelujah, got the power and got the know-it-all that if he decides to make somebody even more smarter than Einstein, and I'm sure he has already, my God, then it is what it is. How can we say there'll be no one greater than this? There'll be no one smarter, no one greater, no one more intelligent. How can we say that when we got the Most High God working on our side? We're not supposed to think like that because nothing is set. The only thing is set. The only person has set things in motion for our lives is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we can't say that this is it. There'll never be no more. There'll never be another. That's true. One thing for sure, there'll never be another, and that's another Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. There'll never be another of him. He's the only one, and he's still the one for your life. Hallelujah. He's still the one. He's still the Most High God. He is still El Elyon. Hallelujah. So you see, it was Abraham, when we look at the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 14, verse 17 to 20. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis chapter 14. Go to Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. Hallelujah. Yeah, God. Genesis chapter 14. Glory, glory, glory to God. Verse 20. Abraham is able to see.
Mm-hmm.
He sees. Wow. we obsess about certain challenges that's immediately before us, and we worry about what's going to happen in our future. We're so worried. We even dream dreams, not only about what can happen now, but also about what could happen in the next year, the next decade, even the next generation. But listen, God gives us dreams. That's called, we need to be a visionary. He said he gives young men vision and old men dreams. Now, God does this, but we're not to sit there and obsess over it if we haven't seen something or have something new in our minds or want to have a goal accomplished and we haven't accomplished that goal yet. You know, we've got to seize the moment that says, you know, we've got to know in our moments, in our day-to-day, God, you're my everything. Lord, I just thank you, Lord. Whatever you have planned for my future and all these goals I may have set for myself, God, I know if it's like you, it shall come to pass. Because you said you will not withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly before you, Lord. So it's okay. So you see, we just have to have them conversations with God because he's almighty and he knows everything. Hallelujah. So as we look at this scripture, we see and we all know that Abraham is truly been named as a friend of God. Hallelujah. He has an encounter with El Elyon. Hallelujah. Let's go to 14 right now. 14, verse 17. Verse 17. Hallelujah. After Abram at the time, returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom, came out to meet him in the valley of Sheveh, that is the king's valley. Verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. See? This is where we get the Most High, right here. And he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And verse 20 here. Let me get some more light. Yeah. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. There goes that battle axe. There goes that battle fighter. Hallelujah. There goes the one that keeps us safe, the one that keeps us in his strong tower, the one that keeps us hidden from the wicked wiles of the enemy who want to defeat us at every turn. Hallelujah. He's constantly at war with the saints. And so we have to know that God is our Most High God. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. And he says, Melchizedek says to him, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. He's our deliverer. We see him as our deliverer, the one that's fighting our battles. All of these things we keep in mind when we go through our life. Glory be to God. When we're faced with these challenges, we don't stay there. We give it to God and we move on. Hallelujah. No matter how many challenges we face in life, we're going to move on because God got this. I don't have to stay here. I don't have to be this way. I'm just going to stay here and wait on the Lord. So if Abraham, he's the friend of God to whom this mighty name was first revealed in Scripture. My God, this old patriarch known then as Abram had just returned from this all-out war with powerful armies, 318 men, hallelujah, of his own household Abram with 318 men of his household. Hear that? Abram defeated four kings. My God, released those taken captive and recovered his plundered goods. Amen. That's when he went to get his nephew. Hallelujah. So God protects the people he created. Hallelujah. His great hand is in motion all the time. He is aware and involved enough to help us deal with life right now. Not tomorrow, because we shouldn't be worried about tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to take care of itself. Not yesterday. That's gone already. Definitely need to not be thinking about that. But it's all right to be making goals for our future. It's all right to think about the future, but only God really knows what's really going to happen. Hallelujah. So Abraham, again, I say, God's friend. We become a friend of God when we decide we're going to follow Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. My brother, my friend, a friend that sticks closer than a brother is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So your friend is the one that's going to be right there, standing beside you, going in front of you. He's your rear guard. He walks ahead of you. He gives you all the help you need. And these are things we should declare in daily prayer. When we're praying, declare what you know about Jesus Christ. Declare. I mean, we can speak all kind of other words, you know, when we're praying. Oh, God, help this one, help that one. But add the scripture to it, you know, and say, God, but you said, God, because you said that you are with us always, because you said you would never leave us nor forsaken us, because you said you are ever-present help in a time of trouble, oh, my God, because you said I'm your deliverer, hallelujah, and that I'm your yoke destroyer, because you said that, God, I'm steadfast, standing on your word, God, and I know that this battle is already won. This is how we pray. Glory be to God. We got to speak the word of God. Pray the word. That's the sword. That's what cuts off the enemy. That's your weapon. The word is your weapon. Hallelujah. Your mouth becomes a weapon. Glory be to God. You got to do that warfare with your mouth. Open up our mouths and pray. Hallelujah. And be that warrior that we're supposed to be. But we can't war with things of the flesh. Where it's spiritual, when it's spiritual, flesh cannot help us. Hallelujah. This is spiritual warfare. And we've got to use the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So every moment in the day, if we just think about God throughout the moments of the day and say, God, this is a beautiful day. It's a great day in you, Lord. Being mindful, keeping our minds stayed on him, it keeps us in peace. We're not going to be worried about anything. We got the peace that surpasses all understanding because it's going to be, Lord, it's going to guard our heart and it's going to guard our mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to follow this off. No more interruptions. Forgive us, Lord. Amen. Now, when Bishop's got to turn these alarms off on his phone and reset them.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. Amen. Got to we can reset the alarms so they don't go off while we're doing the word.
Because four times a day, it's 4% of the time.
Amen. Hallelujah. So he had 318 men of his own household. He defeated four kings, released those that were taken captive, and recovered and plundered all the goods. 318 men against four armies? My God. And Abram at this time is an old man. He's old. But here he has this power.
through God. Oh, my God. Something supernatural happened here. Something supernatural is going on. Abraham is no fool. He knew that a power higher than that of kings was with him in that war. Even though Melchizedek came and told him, but Abram already had a relationship with God. We're just talking about the first time we see that name in the Bible. Hallelujah. Because Abram know, I know, Bishop know, Apostle know, there's a power higher than us, higher, greater than any other power. My God is Jesus Christ, our all in all. Hallelujah. Abram knew this. My God, Jesus, God our Most High. There was the king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elazar, Shadalamur, king of Elam, alongside the possessor of heaven and earth. Oh, Jesus. Here is our first encounter with El Elyon in the Word.
Yes,
then after his return from the defeat of Shadalamur, and I know I may not be getting, that's just a big word. I gotta look it up and see how it's pronounced. I didn't look it up. And the kings who are with him, we all know they got some words in the Bible. I call them big words. And we have to get, you know, I just didn't get the pronunciation of this one this morning. But the kings were with him. The king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Chaveh. That is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Isn't that beautiful? Bread and wine. And now he was a priest. This is a priest of El Elyon. This is the priest, the high priest. This is the high priest, God Most High. And he blessed him. Hallelujah. He blessed Abram that day. Glory be to God. And blessed all the people in Abram's house. Hallelujah. And all of Abram's relatives. Glory be to God. So it also says, I've sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a spandrel. This is Abram talking now. He's talking to this king. Hallelujah. He's talking to this king. Did I skip along too much? Yeah. No, I got it right. Hallelujah. I've got it right. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he said he would not, he was saying, I will not take a thread. Now, this is in 14 verses 22 and 23. He said, I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, lest you say, I have made Abram rich. But it was El Elyon who had given Abram the victory. Should he say? It was the Most High God who was and is the Redeemer of Israel. Abraham's descendants, and it is said in Psalm 78 and 35, it's also spoken of as the Most High God who rules today over the affairs of man. Hallelujah. My God. Now we see here, let's talk about Nebuchadnezzar. Blessed El Elyon, the Most High, and praise and honor him who lives forever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. Hallelujah. Absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that's how we look at it. We look at everything we go through as nothing compared to what our El Elyon, our Jesus, who is all in all, can do, what he's able to do all things. And that's how we pray.
Lord, I know you got me. You're able to do all things, God. Nothing is too hard for you to do, God. You are able to do what's impossible for man. It's not impossible for you to do, God. You're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I ask or think, Lord. Hallelujah. So I know for a fact because of that, because of who you are, none of this will ever take me down. It cannot destroy me. People cannot destroy us. Words are not going to destroy us. We just have to receive what the Lord said that he has already given, his all in all. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ, the all in all. Hallelujah. He gave, and we just have to give. We just have to give back. Give our obedience. Give our time. Spend our time. Spend yourself. Spend what you have. Spend all that God says for you to spend, hallelujah, on the kingdom, for the kingdom, for all the people to be blessed, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. So El Elyon gives Abraham the victory. It was the Most High who was and is the Redeemer of Israel. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. So all of everything in the earth, all of everybody, those who are in this earth are accounted as nothing when we say that he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the people of earth. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? Daniel chapter 4, it said there. So the king of Babylon said these words of praise after 7 years of insanity had robbed him of his throne. We're talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Robbed him of his throne, caused him to go insane, robbed him of his dignity and his humanity. He was like an animal. At the end of those years, the naked king lifted his eyes toward the heavens, and the first thought that came to his mind in that dark place that he was, that deranged state of mind that he was this. God Most High rules over all, the ruler of all. God know how to break you down, get you down, kick you down. My God, God is the one that will chastise us. God is the one that knows what we need to bring us to the reality that he is the Most High God, to bring us to that reality. And you know what? Every knee is going to bow anyhow. Every knee is going to bow before it's all over. We're going to bow to the Most High God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This man had become a deranged. His mind became deranged. He was insane. God let him go insane. Showed him. I'll show you who the Most High God is. Glory be to God. With one single thought. Here he says, after he's in this place, in this horrible place, and many people are there right now today. Why? No, you're not sitting under the tree with claws on your fingers like an animal, sitting under the tree, and you're burning up in the hot sun and all of this stuff, and your mind is gone. Many people are not like that. But you know what? That's just a picture. Well, what about the reality? What about those who are not in the Lord? Those who feel like, I'm on my own. I don't believe all this stuff. It's only stories to me. I don't believe in the word. I don't believe in this these people are talking about. You know what? That is a deranged mind. That's insane. Because when you look at all of what's here in this earth, and when you look at the anatomy of the body, when you look at it, My God, how awesome. You know, the Most High God did this. He made us. Hallelujah. Ain't no animal could have done that. No other person who they consider a god or whatever they consider could have done what God has already done. So we have to consider this. But people whose mind are in a deranged state, they're in a state of insanity. It's insane. It's crazy. It's ludicrous to believe that there is no God at all, that Jehovah does not exist, that the Most High God does not exist. And that's why these people operate the way they operate. My God, the politicians and the leaders in the church and people who are leaders on jobs, they act like I'm all that. I'm all of that and some. That's the way they act. I am up there. And they got their minds in a cloud somewhere, like they're more than anybody and everything. But no one, we're zero compared to the Most High God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So this light came into this king's head all of a sudden now, into the darkness, in that dark place where he is. His light floods his mind, floods that insanity. Hallelujah. And when he got the light, and light flooded that dark place after he had suffered for a long time, he then got his throne back. You hear? So there is God our restorer. There is God our restorer. He restored the man back to his place in the kingdom. So it is with us. You got to know that God's truth is unshakable. It should be undeniable. For me, it's undeniable. It's undeniable. It's all I know. I know to be true. Amen. And many others on this line know to be true that he really is El Elyon. My God, he really is Jesus, our all in all, which is our topic. Glory be to God. So these are unshakable truths that we are speaking today. It's unshakable. It's in my mind. It's embedded in my mind, my heart, my soul. Amen. I know it to be exactly how God says it is. Hallelujah. So we thank God that we don't have that craziness, the craziness of the world that can get into people and have them acting crazy and doing all of these things that they do, doing all of this injustice that's going on. All of the heinous crimes and all of the corruptions that's in this earth and in the people, it is because they don't know God as El Elyon. They don't know Jesus as being all in all. They think they're all in all because people will put people in positions. People are put into positions, and in their minds, they have a high-mindedness when it comes, I think, so highly. It's all right to think highly of people, but not to make them a god, not to worship that person because they're in a position. And some people do it for dishonest gain. Some people do it because it's manipulative, and I'm gonna give you the accolades, and I'm gonna come on, and I may even give a word on Blog Talk. I'm gonna come on, and I'm gonna give you a call every now and then, and I'm gonna say hi, what's up, how you doing? Every now and then, I might send you a little something. My God, but you know what? That doesn't mean that's really your brother. Let me tell you something. That's right. Because somebody talked that good stuff and that sweet, I call them little sweet little nothings, and just because they talk about it and they'll come and shake your hand and say how great you are and how great was the message and how great the, look, we got to not let that stuff go to our head. We got to not let people put us on a pedestal because they'll do it. And most of the time it's for their own gain. It's for their own selfish gain. And you'll find it out as time goes on. You'll find it out. I'm one to tell you. You might say, oh, there go that negative preacher. I'm talking about the negatives that's in this earth, the negatives that come in life. I'm talking about it happens to us all. Sooner or later, we're going to experience people like that. When you're in the kingdom, you're going to experience people. When you're in a position of authority, in a position like that, you're going to experience people like that. They only come to get what they can get. They only come to get what they can get from you. My mother told me a long time ago words of wisdom from a wise woman. She said, let me tell you something. Everybody is not your friend. You can't give everything to everybody. She says some people only going to come because of what you do, not because they love you. They come just because of what you have. They come and sit at your table and eat with you and can't stand you. She said you got to know who you're dealing with. You got to pay attention and don't be so quick to give your everything till you know who you're dealing with. Because I'm telling you, I'm telling y'all, and I know a lot of people don't want to hear. We got certain people say, I ain't going, I don't want to hear all that, because they talk about people. We're talking about what God is talking about. God talked about them all through his word. Even David said, they come and ate with me at my table. My God. Go ahead, Bishop.
I can't remember which is Psalm 70.
It is in Psalm. It came to me and ate at my table.
Ate at my table.
And what they did, and they turned their backs on me. It's in the word. But when we say the word, when we say our experiences, many people say it's because we're negative or we're jealous or we're envious and all this kind of stuff. No, we're talking about real life here, real life situations, real things that will happen to you as a soldier in the army of the Lord, as one that is all for God. For the one that is all in all, Jesus Christ, when you for him, those enemies going to come against you, and sometimes they come like an angel of light. That devil know how to be dressed up in Prada. He knows how to be dressed up, my God, in designer clothes, my God. He knows how to be dressed up. He know what to put on. He know what to ride in and all of that stuff to make you think that he's all in all, make you think that he's good and do some good things. Maybe might even experience some miracles. My God, hallelujah, but they're evil. It's evil.
Oh, Lord.
My God, hallelujah.
People will always say, and the Bible says, trust no man. Does it?
Trust no man. That's what God said.
I knew three guys that I was working with, they decided to start a business together. And the one who had the least amount to invest in the business. Everybody trusted each other. Oh, let's trust, I'm going to just say his name was Harry, but that wasn't his name because I ain't convinced of the names. But they started a company. You know what this man was doing? Huh? He's the only one that wasn't married with family. Two different women. Was his girlfriend.
My God.
He bought one of Lexus and one of Mercedes. Of the company's money. When it comes to the breakup, the two women were smarter than he was. He only called me, put it on my name. Who's responsible? Them, right? Oh, baby, no problem, no problem. You know, we don't know what might come between us or whatever. You know, these are my cars. Okay, village idiot. They decided, okay, they got the car now. And one of them put the car in the storage, told him somebody stole it. The other one put, I don't have a car in my name. He bought a car, but he bought it on his name, and he gave it to me. I don't know what he did with it. He had sold the car. Guess who got stuck? The one that bought the cars. And then he really got stuck because the other two guys sued him. But they got stuck because he didn't have anything.
and he's spending up the company money, but they trusted him.
Yeah, and he wasn't supposed to do that. See, that's unrighteousness right there.
There you go.
That's why he got stuck.
Did he ever
because
get
you did unrighteousness.
Hallelujah.
You did something that was wrong,
and
criminal. And when you do these criminal things and you do what's wrong, whatever you sow, you're going to reap.
Guess what else? His
mama, my God.
His mama had a small business of her own. She was trying to make good and lost her business trying to save himself, save him from going to jail. She put her business up and lost her business.
Wow, not wise at all. She should have allowed him to go and do the crime, pay the time. She should have allowed him to go and help him while he's there. Or if she wanted to get a lawyer, but let's move on.
Love your mother till you love him to death.
Yeah.
And that's the only child she had. He couldn't do no wrong.
Mm. My Lord.
So she lost everything she had.
That's not wisdom.
No.
Now, on the flip side of that, now this happened in my family, so I know.
Mm.
A cousin was with a man. He had a wife.
Huh.
And children by that wife. You know who I'm talking about. I mentioned no name.
Oh, yeah.
I know I'm a living witness of this. He bought her a brand new car. And that car, with a wife, he got 8 children at home, and he's with her. And now she's pregnant with his child.
Okay.
But he wanted her to have this brand new car. She wanted a car. So he got the car.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Mm-hmm. And what happened?
Mm-hmm.
He died. He didn't get to see that second child.
Nope.
She had one already. And the second child, beautiful, beautiful cousins of mine,
uh-huh,
and living a really good life.
Yeah, how about that?
And so is my cousin. But that was a time in her life that she regretted.
Oh, yeah.
And she really loved, loved, loved this man. It even wasn't even about what he could give her. She was crazy about this man. But she had no business with another man's wife, another woman's husband.
Uh-huh.
But here's the thing. He gave her that car, and when he died, the wife came and drove off with it.
Huh.
Uh-huh. Because it was on his name.
She could only say, well, I ain't nothing I can do about it.
And, I mean, she didn't try to fight her.
She couldn't.
She was a fighter.
But she wasn't going to fight that. She was a loser.
She was a fighter. There would have been a time where it would have been fighting outside.
Yeah.
And she would have been trying to keep that car. But she was already pregnant with another child. And so sad. And she loved him dearly.
Mm-hmm.
She was real young, though. He took advantage of her. He was, like, old as her dad. She was, like, 18 now. And the same age as her daddy. That's how old this man was, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And that was terrible what he did, and she just fell in love with this man. He just took her over. And, you know, being young like she was, the things that he was doing for her, that really impressed her.
Mm-hmm.
That really impressed her, and she didn't need him for that.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't need him for stuff. She already had stuff. She didn't need him for stuff, but that was very impressionable to her, and that made her feel like, he really loves me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he gives me all that stuff. We can't get it twisted. Right. We can't get it twisted because people give us stuff. We can't. We got to know what it is for what it is. And as you learn about the one that's all in all, Jesus Christ, he'll give you wisdom. He'll give you understanding about things. And then when you tell people about certain things you know about, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear, because you're talking about people. All through the Bible, God talks about people, his own people. He talks about them. These are life lessons. With the Bible has life lessons with proof. God is all the proof. He's all the proof. He's all the truth. And he gives us all of these scenarios in here. Now we're reading about Abram and what happened with Abram,
mm-hmm,
and how these armies came against Abram and how God came in there as his battle fighter. He let Abram know, I'm right here. You're going to win this war. I'm with you.
Uh-huh.
He sends him in there with 318 men against four kings.
Mm-hmm.
My God. So we know as we read that in the word that something supernatural is happening here. There's no way you could win a war with 318 men. You read this in the word and you'll be scratching your head if you don't really know Jesus Christ. But he's revealing himself to you as your provider, your battle fighter. I'm your strong tower. I'm all of that in your life. I'm your all in all because I am all in all. Hallelujah. 318 men.
And one
amazing.
King had 30,000 people on his side. One.
My God. So the Lord of hosts will take care of all of your circumstances.
No, definitely.
He will be there with you. He will establish his purpose. Hallelujah, in your life.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, please.
But if we refuse to acknowledge that these truths that the Lord has presented to us and presents to us every day is the absolute.
Yes,
sir. Absolutely the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And this truth is given to us by the sovereign Lord of all.
Oh, glory.
My God, the King of Kings, the Lord of glory.
Oh, so about that,
my God.
Yeah,
that's why I say people crazy. It's crazy. It's insane to believe otherwise, to believe the lies. It's crazy. I always say without salvation, we're blind, we're crippled, and we're crazy because we don't have the light of the truth. In our darkness,
okay.
We don't have the light of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We need the light. That king, Nebuchadnezzar, had a lightning moment. Lightning hit his mind. The truth, the light. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and he is also the light.
Hallelujah.
In a sin-sick, dark world. A sin-sick, dark mind.
Yes, Lord.
He is that light that is needed
mm-hmm.
so we can see. Abram saw.
Lord, Lord.
Abram knew. Abram did.
Yes,
what God said to do, he became a friend of God. Why? Because it's accounted to him for righteousness.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Because of his faith. He is in the hall of faith.
Yes, yes.
Glory be to God. He had great faith. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. Listen, listen, beloved of God. If God is not sovereign, if he is not in control, if all things are not under his dominion, then he would not be the Most High. And you and I are either in the hands of blind faith or in the hands of man or in the hands of the devil.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But Scripture leads us, gives us the truth, which we pray will indwell in you.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us no doubt. There's no shadow. There's no shadow of any misgivings. There's no shadow there. It's all 100% true. Hear the words of our sovereign God, a God who never hesitates or never stutters. Listen. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24 and 27. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have intended, so it has happened, and just as I have planned, so it will stand. For the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back?
Yeah.
My. So remember, the former things, long past, Remember the former things long past,
yes.
For I am God,
yes. Uh-huh.
And there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me.
Amen.
Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, things which have not been done. He says, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Are you hearing this?
Yes.
Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country, truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it.
Mm-hmm.
Surely I will do it. The words of the Lord.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You,
so you see, what difference does it make, and I'm going to be closing now in a few. What difference does it make in your life when you realize God is sovereign? That he is ruler of all.
Glory.
And that nothing can happen without the ultimate
mm-hmm.
plan.
Yes.
Or God has sanctioned it.
Yes, it yes.
Or have given permission of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
see,
yes.
I can only tell y'all this. If you begin to really grasp the truth of the word and really grasp the fact that Jesus is all in all, he is the most high God, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
And that there is that his name is the name above all names, that he is El Elyon. If you will submit to that name, if you would bow your knee to the almighty, all-sufficient, sovereign Lord, the Most High God, then you will now begin to know. You will now begin to be able to touch the things that God will bless you with. Hallelujah. This verse will touch your life if you read it over and over again. It will touch your life. Hallelujah. And you have God's permission to use his authority. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
To use the power that's within you,
yes.
The power that he's given you. You have God's permission to proclaim his word.
Yeah.
Nobody can stop you from saying it.
Thank
and
you.
Even if they want to kill you, if they want to kill me for saying it, well, I'll just die in Christ.
Yeah,
hallelujah. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to do it wherever I am. Hallelujah. Like it or not. Like it or not. So the truth of God's sovereignty makes it easy for us to obey the commands in the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
hallelujah, that charges us to rejoice in all circumstances of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 20, God tells us that we are to be filled with the Spirit, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ,
yes.
To God, even the Father. My God, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. And as I said, call on him. Call to him.
Yes.
Call those things that are not as though they were.
Yes.
Say the word of God and mean what you say. Know what you're saying. Hallelujah. And God will come to you. God will rescue. He's going to help you. He's going to protect you. He's going to heal. Hallelujah. Troubled hearts. He's going to give you the peace you need. He's all of that. He's all of all. Hallelujah. Jesus all in all. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So, it'll become easier when you know that Father, that your Father, my Father, our Father, El Elyon, God Most High, is in control. And that nothing, not anything, can happen across this big, big, wide universe without his permission. That's a shout right there. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Absolutely not anything can happen without his control, without him being in control. So when we are misunderstood, talked about by others, slandered, or even made a fool of, bamboozled in some kind of way, talked about, stabbed in your back, people eating at your table and can't stand you, people talking to you in your face and can't stand you, hate your guts, envy you. Most times it's envy and jealousy anyway. And ain't nobody mad but the devil. Believe that. That's the devil in them. Mm-hmm. That's the devil. That is not Jesus. That is not Jesus. When you got some kind of envy and jealousy and strife and all of that, that's not of God. Ain't nobody mad but the devil when you tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He gets mad.
Yes, he does.
He lifts up his ugly head because he's mad.
Oh,
hallelujah. Yeah. And all I got to say, there ain't nothing but the devil. I ain't worried about that. Because God is in control of my life. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And he fights my battles. And he hears what's being said. Hallelujah. He hears what's being said. He ain't got to be no fly on the wall. My God. He hears every word. Every word that's spoken, he hears it. Every thought that's conceived, he hears it. Oh, yes, he does. He knows it. He even knows it before you think it. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So when we misunderstand, when we're misunderstood, and I had a prophet to tell me one time, a prophetess, more than one time it's been told that you're very misunderstood.
Huh.
But God got you.
I heard both of them say that.
You're very misunderstood. But God loves you.
I
know. I know. Because, see, what makes it, you know, when you give and give and give and do and do and do, and then all of a sudden it changes. You know why it's misunderstood? Yeah. Because I know the truth. I know the truth. But you know what? All of a sudden, I just drop it. I drop it like a hot potato. Hallelujah. And you know why else? Because I'll sit there, or I'll listen, and I'll hear you, even if you ain't speaking no words. I'll hear some things. And you know what? In the spirit, I can hear some things. And you know what, Apostle? I know what you're saying. Even into my faith, and I'll sit there, and I won't say a word. I'm misunderstood because I don't counteract. I don't have to give a response. You see? Now, you got some that don't say anything. They don't say nothing bad. They say all good stuff.
Uh-huh.
Even if you do something wrong, they're not going to say you're wrong.
No.
You know why? Because they got an ulterior motive. They want to stay on your good side. Even though you're doing something bad, they're not going to say it's bad. They're going to disagree with anybody else who say anything that if that's any truth about it. They're going to disagree. They're going to agree with the lies, agree with the deceit, because they want to stay on your good side. Because they already put you up on the pedestal because they want what you got. Some of them even jealous of an anointing, jealous of what you do. And here's the thing, nobody can anoint anybody but God. And God has already given us our own gifts. He's already given us the way to do what we do. Don't be jealous of anybody else's anointing. Don't be jealous of what anybody else is doing. Just do what God has called or chosen you to do. Amen. That's what we ought to be about. Hallelujah. So if we just grasp this message, and probably heard one just like this before, but if we really get it, and I know you've heard all this before, most of you, if you will submit to that name, if you will bow your knee to the Almighty Sovereign God of this universe, you're going to experience a deep, abiding peace in the Prince of Peace, in the One, Jesus Christ, who is all in all. And you're going to experience that peace in the very core of yourself, the very core of your soul. And it will defy the lie is going to defy, it's going to be defiant when it comes to the lies and the deception. It's going to be defiant, and it's going to tell that flesh to shut up. Shut up, because I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. It is not I, but that Christ lives in me. Amen? That's what you tell the flesh. You don't. You got to die to that flesh. Glory be to God. You will know that nothing in this universe can touch your life except by his permission. And it has to be filtered through his love, through his hands. My God, before anything can touch you, before anybody can do anything, it has to come through God. Ah, Jesus. And if it's not his will, it's not going to be done. So the truth of God's sovereignty, El Elyon, makes it easier to obey the commands in the New Testament that change us so we can rejoice in all things in life. God tells us that we ought to be filled with his spirit. I say again, filled with his spirit. Otherwise, you're not going to experience Jesus Christ all in all. You're not going to know him. And know that he is your all in all, that he is in you, and that you can do all that he tells you to do. Amen. So it becomes easier when you know that El Elyon, oh God Most High, is in control. Won't it? I'm almost done, Apostle. I'm about to close. So when we are deliberately harmed or wronged by others, we got to still give thanks. Mm-hmm. They're not going to understand that. They don't understand that. And the devil hates it because he sends that kind of stuff to frustrate, to aggravate. Hallelujah. Frustrate you, aggravate you, get you in the wrong mindset. But when we are shunned, listen, if we are ignored, even devalued by others, we can still give thanks. Can you give thanks? Although we've been given a free will, God, Jesus, God so rules and overrules in the universe of his that no person, no angel, no demon or devil, nor any circumstance of life can do anything about it. They cannot throw out the plan of God. They can't throw out his plan. So El Elyon rules supremely. He's all supreme. And because he does, we can understand how all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. As Romans chapter 8 tells us, most people have memorized that scripture. So in everything we can give thanks for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. So do you remember? Let's see what time it is. Oh, yeah, we got to go. So we're almost done, Lord Apostle. Yeah, I'm going to close this up right now.
Yes.
So just one more thing, and I'll be finished. Got to tell you this one. It's so perfect for this talk about the Word of God, about the truth. Do you remember how Joseph's brothers plotted against him for his demise, for his destruction? Because of his brother's jealousy, Joseph was stripped of his cherished cloak that was given to him by God, thrown into a pit, then sold to be a slave in Egypt. There in the house of Potiphar, he was falsely accused. Y'all know the story, but we're going to end this sermon with this. He was falsely accused, unjustly thrown in prison for 2 long years. I don't know if y'all knew that. It was 2 long years. It was enough to make any normal person, that's enough to make anybody bitter for being thrown into prison for something you did not do. Accused, falsely accused. That could make anybody normal who know God, a normal person I'm talking about, to be bitter. But see, Joseph had done what was right. He was faithful to his God, and suffered because of it. That's suffering for righteousness. Just like John suffered for righteousness.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When he was thrown in prison.
Yes.
He seemed to be the victim of all of the plots of the evil one. But not once during all this time did you hear Joseph do anything but honor his God. That's all you heard, was that Joseph honored his God. The story unfolds in Genesis chapter 39, and it goes on to Genesis chapter 41. And you may want to read it if you haven't, but most of us know this story. But because Joseph, this young man, was something, saw something through the eyes of faith, he saw God. He saw the sovereign one. He saw and believed in Almighty God.
Yeah.
He saw El Elyon, the Most High God, standing in his life, standing through the light of our God. He could see because of the light in his eyes. He could see who was ruler of all. So he stood there. He stayed there without complaining, because he saw the one who was ruling all. He saw the one that was watching. He knew the one that was not going to allow him to stay there. So whether or not he understood everything that happened to him, Joseph knew that God had a purpose in it all. Why do I say that? Why do I know that? Because first of all, I believe and know the story of Joseph. But because of what Joseph said to his brothers when they found themselves standing before him in Genesis chapter 42, as the one that was appointed ruler over all Egypt. Listen to the words of this man who had been terribly wrong, who had endured wounds as deep in your mind, as deep even in your soul. This is a deep, deep wound. This went deep. But yet, you hear the words of a man who knew how to find refuge. He knew where his refuge was. He knew where his strength was. He knew where the restorer was. He knew where the shepherd is. He knew who the shepherd was. He knew Jesus Christ all in all. He knew El Elyon without a shadow of a doubt. He knew him through the eyes of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He knew that the strong tower, the Most High, El Elyon, was right there with him. Through the turmoil and through all of the grief, he was there. So now, do not be grieved or angry about what's happened in your life. Because, hallelujah, this is what Joseph said. Do not be grieved. Do not be angry with yourself because you sold me here. And God is saying the same thing. Do not be grieved. Do not be angry. Don't be angry. Don't be grieved and more if you are about what someone has done to you, said about you, messed over you. But God sent me before you to preserve you, he said. Preserve your life. And God sent me before you. God sent me before you. God sent me before you. I had to say that some more. To preserve for you a remnant in earth and to keep you alive by great deliverance. Ah, Jesus. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father in Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler of all the land of Egypt. And as far as for you, you meant evil against me, But God meant it for good in order to bring about this result. This is what you see now. This is the me you see now. This is my new now. In order to bring about this result now that you see, to preserve many people alive. Jesus came to preserve many people alive. Jesus, all in all, came to save, to redeem. My God, to mediate. He's your intercessor. He's your healer. He's your everything, your provider. He came to save us all. It's up to us to receive him. It's up to us to accept the blessing.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
It's up to us to say, yes, Lord. Yes, your Lord. Today I'll give my life to you. After all I've heard, I want to know all about El Elyon. I want to know about all this, all in all, Jesus Christ. I want to know more about him. I give you my life today. Because after what she said, I've been in prison all this time. Thrown in prison because of sin. In the prison of sin. And I want out. I want freedom. I want my freedom today. Can you say that today and really mean it? That you want your freedom today when Bishop gives the prayer of salvation. You see, you said again, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. God used your every evil action that it was intended to hurt and to wound me, to kill me. They even wanted him dead. But God sent someone along, hallelujah, to pick him up out that pit. God sends help. He's your helper. The Holy Spirit, your comforter, is your helper. God is going to send help. No matter how much trouble you're in, it's not too much for God. No matter how far you've gone in sin, it's not too far for God. You have not gone too far in sin for God to come and scoop you up and take you to your freedom today. Right now, in these few minutes, you can say, I'm free. And whom the Lord sets free, whom God sets free, is free indeed. And nobody can take it from you unless you let them have it. Hallelujah. So God brought him a great life. A life-giving. A life-giving. A plan for his life to be a life of victory. Freedom. Freedom rings. Freedom is ringing in your ears right now. My God, let it ring in your soul. My God, let it ring in your soul today. Right now. Because we serve El Elyon, the Most High, Jesus, all in all. And you're going to get to know him when you give your life to him and you become obedient to what he tells you to do, to all of what he says to do. Excuse me, in his word. Well, beloved, the next time you start to complain and mumble, run to El Elyon. Trust in his name and give thanks. Bend your knees before God Most High, Jesus Christ, all in all, and learn that his sovereign power towards you means nothing less than perfect love. You want to experience the perfect love of Christ? Call on El Elyon. Call on El Roy. And we're going to talk about all of them this week. Next time we come, we're going to talk about El Roy. Hallelujah. The God that sees. He sees everything. And he sees you right now in your situation. He even sees his people crying out. He hears you. He's hearing your prayers. He's answering prayers even now. And he's going to answer you when you adhere to the prayer of salvation today in Jesus Christ's name. And that will end our sermon, Apostle. Glory be to God. We still got time for the prayer of salvation. Glory be to God. Father, we are so grateful for this word. Lord, we thank you so much for everything you've said and done today. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we're grateful, Lord, for everything you do every day. Hallelujah. You're our El Elyon. You are with us all the time, oh God. You never will leave us nor forsaken us. Now, Father God, we thank you. You brought us to this place today, Lord. Hallelujah. And you're gonna take us everywhere we need to go, Father. Hallelujah. You're going to tell us everything we need to know, God. We want to thank you right now for divine wisdom. We want to thank you right now for divine understanding, oh God. Hallelujah. For divine encounters with you, oh God. We want to thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for the ones we've had before, for the ones we're getting right now, and for the ones we will get. Father, we thank you now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for everyone who came to listen to what thus saith the Lord, who came to listen to you, God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray your word resonates with them in their souls. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thank you. Glory. Glory to your holy name, Heavenly Father. Praise you, Lord God. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, God, Baba, Satan. Hallelujah. Now, for those who didn't accept Jesus earlier, before I even brought the prayer of salvation forth, before the scripture started being read, taught. Now is your opportunity. Again, God has given you still another chance. Trust God, not man. Okay? Trust God. We can only acknowledge that God is a God of many chances. He gives us chance after chance after chance.
Yeah.
Stop putting God to the test. Because God, he's a sovereign God of everything. He has a given time when he's going to call out your name and says it's time for you to cross over. You know, or a number, or however he does it. He's God. If he says Bishop James or James or James Edward or James Washington, whatever, it's your time, I'm going to cross over at that moment. So I ask God to forgive me for all of my sins in Jesus' mighty name right now. I'm renewing my confession unto him. And I urge you to do, if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I had asked you earlier today to do so, do it now, please. And any one of our brothers and sisters who has slipped away from the faith, we all fall short of his glory each and every day. The word of God says that. In the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 23, we all fall short of the glory of God each and every day. But God has given us a way out, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We cannot see God. We cannot face Jesus if we don't use Jesus as our Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. God's only begotten Son. There is no other way, no other God, except the one we serve, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other God. Read it for yourself. If you don't have a Bible and you do have a Bible, okay, please say this. Say this. Write the scripture down, please, and say it. If you're renewing your confession, you know where it is. It's in the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verses 8 through 10. Okay? And the first thing it says is, you know, for us to listen. What does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth, which means you must speak it. The enemy can't read your mind. He can only inject thoughts in your mind, and he's going to try hard to inject thoughts in your mind. Jesus, rebuke him in your name. Say, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. As these people
tried to do this confession, or they do this confession to you, and they truly believe in their heart that you died, that God sent you to come down to earth to die in our place, not his. God had all sin put on his shoulders to save our unworthy selves. You know, we're only dust, but God loves us so much. He sent his only begotten Son, as it says in the book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. He sent his only begotten Son into the world that no man would perish. He doesn't want to see anyone perish. And the only way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. It's right in the book, John 3, 16 and 17. But God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go into the book of Acts, book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. In verse 12, it says, nor is there any other name mentioned under heaven. There's no other name mentioned that we might be saved other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. None. No other name. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Sunshine Money, not Harvey Keck, nobody. Just Jesus Christ. It's all. That's the old time. People old as me might know that if they're from New Orleans area. You know, they might. I'm always joking, but that's not a joke. I'm just saying, you know, people believe in other stuff, you know, like some people, St. Jude can't save you. St. Anthony can't save you. All these are statues, man-made. Jesus is not made with human hands. Jesus is begotten. Get behind me, Satan. You're not gonna stop me he's a big liar. It's not gonna stop me from saying this. If you believe in your heart that God sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save us, you believe that Jesus went to Calvary, went through the whipping post, that scourging of the pillow, the crown of thorns on his head, the sword thrust into his side, hallelujah, and the enormous beatings he went through. And by the way, they portray him wearing the loincloth. It wasn't to show shame. He was beaten. He was naked. And all he did was throw a robe on his back, on a bloody back. So when they tore it off before they nailed him to the rugged cross, just think about how horrible that is. The blood was partially dried and it stuck to this rugged cross. The cross was not plain down. It didn't have polyurethane on it, smooth and shiny. It was rugged. It had him, the old rugged cross. And that's what Jesus went through. The hours he spent on that cross, suffering in a blazing desert heat, he suffered for our sins and iniquities. He didn't deserve it. But he took it on his back for us. Bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. Bless you for saving us all. And if you think about 6 to 8 inches thorns slammed into the top of his head, crown of thorns, all this pierced his scalp into the skull of Lord Jesus Christ, he was beaten. Because he was beat unmercifully. Get behind me, Satan. You're not going to stop me from saying, but it's about Jesus for us. I love you, Jesus. And I pray that everybody would love you and know what you did for all of us. Oh, Jesus. He stood there on that wood, just stood there, and they drove nails through his hands and his feet, hung him on a rugged cross. Tore the robe off his back and just opened up the wounds he already had and put him on a rugged cross to die for our sins, not his, ours. And we would turn our back on the man who did this for all of us, came off of his throne to do this for us. That's how much he loved us. I pity the fool that don't believe it, because they got to be a fool not to believe it. If you ever read the pains that Jesus probably went through, according to scientific proof, nerves, when Jesus had, they drove nails through his hands, but it's also through his wrist. They didn't say that, but that's where the nerve ending is, where you feel everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yes. If he had driven them just in his hands, it would have been pulled completely off. But the joint between the wrist and the lower arm, there's a nerve there that it feels every pain that goes all through your body. Horrible pain. Horrible misery pain. For all of us, think about it. We don't have to suffer the pains of hell for eternity because Jesus suffered for us that we might not have to go there. He loves us so much, and we ought to love him. I know I love him. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins in that horrible manner, that God raised him from the dead on Resurrection Sunday, you know, these people say he stayed on the cross 3 days. That's not so. He died. And on the third day, he said he would rise again. Mm-hmm. Right? He rose on the third day, which is Resurrection Sunday, which was commonly called Easter, which has nothing to do with rabbits and eggs and things. It's just a pagan name. Resurrection souls. Hallelujah. Resurrection Sunday, where Jesus rose from the grave, and that all sin was sent back to hell when he crossed over to be with his Father. Now, if you believe this, you are now saved. Now, your next step is to repent of whatever life you were living. Once you receive Jesus as your Savior, it doesn't matter what you were doing. If you were a bank robber, if you were a drug pusher, if you were a drug user, if you were living in sin with another person, adultery or fornication, you got to get in touch with these people and tell them, I'm not coming back to live with you. Not if we're going to get married, then let's do it the correct way. We're not sinning against God anymore. I'm repenting, and I'm asking forgiveness for my sins and for yours too. Forgive your brothers and your sisters for anything, because you can't see God if you don't forgive your brothers and your sisters. And that's everybody, because we're all brothers and sisters under Christ. Hallelujah. And if you don't forgive people who have sinned against you and you against them, then you will never see the face of God. You don't want to lose out on being in God's presence. You don't want to. Telling you, there's no greater pain that you could suffer. Even the pains of hell is not as bad, even though they're horrible, not as bad as not being able to be with Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Oh, my God. Save yourselves by just making this confession and meaning. Now, your next step to the world to see the outward sin, the outward confession is the act in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 41, is where you are baptized. And as the word of God says, there is no other name mentioned that you might be saved other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Book of Romans, go again, chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Read them for yourself. Bishop James did not write this Bible. Okay, I did not write this Bible long before my quadruple great grandparents were. The Bible was inspired by God through men thousands of years ago, before Christ was born, that the Savior was going to be sent to us. You know, they didn't know anything about it. A lot of people didn't. But those who did find out, they knew about it. You know, and they passed it on to us. Christ, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, died for our sins and iniquities. No other name mentioned in the Bible. If you've ever read the Bible, go from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. There is no other name except Jesus Christ. And that's the name you should be baptized by. Not his title. He is the Son of God. He is God. He is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Before Jesus came. Before Jesus came to earth, and it says, that's you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are his titles. The only name mentioned is Jesus Christ, the the Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Okay.
Now, the scripture I quoted you is Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 41. Read it for yourself. And the first thing Peter said to the multitude, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And it will be well with you and to you and your children and to all who are far off who are called unto him by God Almighty. So God bless you if you've received Jesus as your Savior today. And remember, just repent. Don't go back to whatever it was you were doing. Don't go back to it. Do not. Just do not return. If you were like I was, I used to smoke and drink. I stopped them all. Ask God to take it away from me. I didn't use patches. I didn't go to a doctor to get pills or anything. I went to Dr. Jesus. Jesus, I want to stop the smoking, and I want to stop this drinking. It's just like, you know, hey, you talk about a miracle? That's a miracle to me because I used to smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day, every day, sometimes a little more. If I was drinking, a little more. And the Lord just took it off of me because I asked him to, and I believed that he would. And I believe to the day I cross over that I will never go back to smoking and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that you have received him today. My Lord in heaven, let someone who received him today come to Block Talk Radio and say that they did. You know, Father God, if it be your will, Lord, if they do it today in comments, if they wait a week or whatever, this baptism is just an open sign to everyone who go to church with you, and you get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they may ask you why. Bring them to the book of Romans, the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38. Through 41, pardon me, the book of 10 verses, the book of Romans chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Let them read that. I'll bring it to them. Show them in the Bible where it says the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, it is in 38 Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Acts chapter 4. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the remission of sins, and you shall be saved. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. God bless each and every one of you. We are so happy that you are here today with us, and we look forward to hearing from you once again. And if you could be a preacher or a teacher, don't be Mike shy. Come on, Mike, if you only stay 15 or 20 minutes, let us hear you. You might say something we don't know. Every time somebody comes on this mic, we learn something. There's things that people may have been reading the word out, preaching the word for 40 years. There might be something they missed in the Bible. We don't know every word in this Bible, you know, and we're willing to learn, and we're willing to hear from other people. Don't be mic shy. I used to drive publicly, and we had CB radios. And we would talk to people we never saw before in our lives, like if they were our next-door neighbors. Yeah, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? Didn't know them. Couldn't tell you what color they were, how tall they were, how short they were, if they were really driving or what. But we used to hold conversations, you know. I didn't know them. But we weren't mic-shy then. Now we mic-shy because we don't want to get on the mic and talk to people who can't see us. Talk to Jesus. You can't see him, but believe me, he is all there. He's real. Love you, Jesus, and love each and every one of our brothers and sisters on this line and all who are listening around the world. Around the world. And Jesus, I pray in your name, Father, that we have spoken to someone today and that they have received you as the Lord and Savior, and whoever the prodigal sons and daughters were, I'm saying were, because they have received you back as their Savior and will not stray again. In Jesus' name we pray. Apostle, it's back to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Bishop and Apostle, for that word. Thank you for elaborating the way you did today, as always, allowing God to use you.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. And thank you for those that came on and heard the word and got off. We pray that the word go with them throughout this day, and that the word will be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. We pray, Father God, that the word not allow them to go astray. As always, God, we ask you to have mercy on us, that you forgive us of all sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lord, we ask today that you bless this bishop and bless this apostle, O God, for their availability to come and teach and preach your word, O God. God, they could be doing anything else that they choose to do today. They could be spending comfort in their own home, doing their own thing, but they choose, even in their home, to break bread for your people, O God. We ask you, God, to open the window, the door, and the gates of heaven for them right now, Lord. Bless them beyond their comprehension, even what they didn't ask for, God, give to them, Lord. For you are the God of abundance, O God. Lord, you never give us what we desire, but you always give us what we need. We ask you, God, to watch over their children and grandchildren, and even the great-grandchildren to come. Lord, we ask you, Father God, to do for them what no one else can do for them, Lord. Let your light shine over them and through them, O God, that whoever come in contact with them would know that they are light bearers. They are carrying the light of God in them. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Evangelist Lila was on with us, and she got off. Now she's going to the nursing home and stuff and ministering to people. You know, I pray for her ministry. You know, she doing what she can do. Because the kingdom requires a lot of different workers. Some people are on the street evangelizing. Some people are in the building. Some people are at their home doing what they do. You know, some people are reaching people from on their jobs at the grocery store, their cashiers, and they're putting in the word as people come. They're saying, God bless you, and they're saying a kind word. And that's all God asking, for us to represent him in the way that we know how. You don't have to be in the pulpit to represent him. You just got to represent him wherever you are. That's all it is. Wherever you are, just represent him. And let the world know that you belongs to him. You belongs to Jesus. So we just thank God and praise God for you all, because you always come. And even when the Lord blesses with a little job, you're always there for, to help us, to help God's people. And you know, we really, really appreciate that. We really appreciate it, that a lot, more than you know, more than words can say. And I thank you for the word. You stress a lot on knowing who God is. Excuse me, and knowing who Jesus is. Because, as we say all the time, you'll never know the Father until you know the Son.
Yeah, come on.
And Jesus Jesus said it, make it very plain. When you know me, when you see me, you see the Father. And when you hear me, you hear the Father. Jesus even makes it so plain. He said, I don't do nothing that the Father don't say do. Why? Because the Father is in him, and he is in the Father. So,
amen.
He told us that he and the Father is one. And he said it out of his mouth. He didn't give the apostles to say it. He didn't tell the disciples to say it. He didn't tell the evangelists to say it. He didn't tell the bishops to say it. He spoke it out of his own mouth. And the people who were supposed to be men of valor, the men that supposed to know the Pentateuch, know the law of Moses, they got mad at him when he say that. And they wanted to stone him. And the Bible said he just slipped on right through the crowd, because he told them the truth and they didn't believe the truth. You know, he didn't believe. He said, if you just believe the very words that I speak, you know, they didn't want to hear him. Because he was speaking power, he was speaking authority, and he was speaking spirit. See, when we begin to speak spirit, people are going to come against us, because we're speaking what we hear from him and what we know, because what we hear, we know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when we start to speak that, people come against us. We need to know that who Jesus is in our own lives. Very important. I mean, if somebody, we tell people where, you know, Jesus, this is Jesus, that, but you don't know him. You talk about it in the message. People can say that they know Jesus. They know him, but they really don't know him. They know of him. Why? Because they don't have a relationship with him. You say you know your wife. Why? Because you have a relationship with your wife. Your wife says she know you. Why? Because she have a relationship with you. For claiming they know Jesus, but they don't have a relationship with him. And even having a relationship with Jesus, how you know a lot of time that you have a relationship with him, because when you make an error, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus will convict you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because you know him. And it will convict you. Say, son, you know, you ought not be drinking that. You ought not to let daughter, you ought not let them words come out your mouth. Why? Because you have a relationship with you, him, and he have a relationship with you, so he'll bring a correction to you. You know, like you have a children. See, you have children, and you and your children don't get along. Your children are always acting unseemly, and you kind of separate your spirit from them. They're still your children, but you separate yourself from them. You just don't have a relationship with them, because every time you contact with them, come in contact with them, they're acting unseemly. So you separate yourself with them. But it's the same way. When folks say they know Jesus, they're still his children. But he don't operate with them because he don't have a relationship with them. They don't have a relationship with him. You know? Hallelujah, glory to God. He said in the book of John, if you knew me, you would hear me. But because you don't know me, you don't hear me, and you don't believe me. But you believe your father. Your father's the devil. He told him that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said that he told the disciples the same way that they don't believe me, they would not believe you. Why? Because we are carrying his word. And if they don't believe him, they're not going to believe us. We're not speaking of ourselves. Even Jesus said that. Jesus said he's not speaking of himself, but he is speaking what he has heard from the Father. Hallelujah. What he's been told to speak. Glory to God. So this is when you develop a relationship. We must stay connected in Christ. The Lord fights for his people. He is the defender of the righteous. He is the defender of the righteous. He's not defending the sinner man. He's defending the righteous. You know when he starts to defend the sinner man? When the sinner man repent. When the sinner man hear the prayer of salvation and repent of his sin and give his heart to Christ. He starts to defend now. Now he defend the sinner man because the sinner man realized who he is, what he was doing, and the life he was living, and he repent of the sin and turn his heart over to Christ. Now the heart truly belongs to Christ. He said, all souls are mine, but the soul that sinneth shall die, spiritual death. So when we repent, now instead of the soul dying a spiritual death, it comes alive spiritually. The soul man comes alive spiritually. You talked about early on. God, you talked about him. That's one of the most powerful holy names of God. And you stressed on that very, very significant. You know, it's a lot in the word. You know, God is speaking to us, and God is saying to us that we have to get ready. Things are moving fast. You said that today. Things are moving very fast, faster than we can even comprehend with our little minute our senses. They're moving so fast. Why? Because there's a spiritual war going on. The enemy knows how his time is drawing up close. Spiritual time, spiritual war. I was ministering to some people yesterday for a long time, in prayer, for a long time on the phone. And just to see that some people, like you said, some people can say they're with you, but they're not with you. And behind the scene, Apostle, they do everything to try to stop you. But in your face, they act like they're with you. They act like they're with you. They're only saying because they want to get what you have, what you can do for them. But behind the scene, they're working everything that they can. And matter of fact, they claim that they're in Christ, but they have the Ouija board, they have the crystal ball, they have the 8-ball and all that kind of stuff, trying to find out their future and all that kind of stuff, working that stuff because the objective or the mindset, I'm going to teach on that too. The mindset, glory to God, is to get riches.
Uh-huh.
They don't understand that when you win soul, you're becoming richer. You're making spiritual deposits. The more you win soul, the more you win souls for the kingdom, you are getting richer. Your bank account in heaven is beginning to increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I believe, I thank you, Lord. I believe that when we are winning souls for the kingdom, that God caused the angels to put more diadems inside the crowns, more of them holy stones inside the crowns. So I believe that when we get there, our crown, that the crown of righteousness that he has for us is going to be just glowing with all these different stones because of the work that we are doing. Not saying that we are perfect, but we're trying our best to fight for perfection. We are striving for perfection, and when he comes, he's going to perfect us. Because the Bible said we're going to be just like him. We're going to be just like him.
Hallelujah.
So what's going to happen is there's a spiritual change that's, oh, God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. There's a spiritual change that's going to take place when we get into his presence. It's going to take place instant. You don't have to go nowhere. When we come into his presence and with our spiritual garment, we're going to change instantly. Instantly. We're going to receive a heavenly body right there. You don't have to go nowhere. Because the earthly body is going to be already in the dirt. It's not coming out the dirt. That earthly body is not coming out the dirt. It's staying going right where it came from. But that spiritual body, that God, he blew into your nose, you became a living soul, that's going to come up before him. And he's going to give you a body to carry that spirit.
Oh,
right,
Lord.
There.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. Woo, that's enough for me to say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to go. But from this to where I got to go in the chamber, I got to go in the throne. You don't have to go nowhere because you're right there with the master. You're right there with the master builder. He's going to say, son, here's your heavenly body. Daughter, here's your heavenly body. Right there. Right there. And he's going to give it to you. You're going to become, you're going to change. The Bible says you're going to change in the twinkle of an eye. You know how fast that is? Oh, Lord. You just think about it. In the twinkle of an eye, you're going to be changed. You're going to be changed. Glory to God. That's why we got to stay connected in him. Not in the world. I like what you said too. We are not, we just passing through. We're sojourners.
Right.
We're passing through. And while we're passing through, we're trying to take some things out of here with us. Not the natural things, but we're trying to take some souls out of this world with us by leading them to Christ. That's our job. The Bible said it this way. We've been reconciled to reconcile. That's how the Bible said it. We've been reconciled. In other words, you've been brought out to lead out other people. That's what it means. You've been brought out to lead other people out. That's your main mission.
Hallelujah.
Nothing else.
Hallelujah.
You wouldn't call to do nothing else. Not to go get no money, get no bigger job, get no bigger house, bigger car, more clothes, none of that. All you've been called to is to reconcile your brother and sister. Lead them out of darkness into the same light that you're in. That's all you're called to. That's why he told the disciples, he told them, when you go, don't take two of this and two of that and all this stuff. You don't need all this stuff. All you need to do is go. Don't even write a sermon while you're going. He said, when you get where you're going, I'm going to give you a word. I'm going to give you the word that you need. And I'm going to prepare what you need to eat or drink. I'm going to prepare for you. I'm going to cause people to bless you with what you need. Glory to God. I just thank God. This thing, this way, that this realm, this level that he has us on now, Apostle, is a miraculous, supernatural level. And, you know, we start slow, but then when you get going, you're just like we're in a marathon. We start out slow. But when we get to going, Lord Jesus, we just crank it up. Start out slow. We just crank it up. And the Spirit just said, come on, you got to go. You got to go a little further. You got to go a little further, a little further, a little further. And along the way, we are just pulling people along with us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was talking to somebody yesterday and working with somebody, an apostle. I am telling you something. There's a lot of wicked people out there. You hear me? I can tell you no more without recording anymore. A lot of wicked people out there. And this lady was telling me, she says, she said, my son married to this woman. The woman been married before. And she got a daughter for the husband. And her sister was over there. And she went, the son said, well, I need to go over and clean the bathroom, told his mama. So I'm going to give you $100, you know, to clean the bathroom for me. So she goes over there, and all of this satanic stuff is in the bathroom. All this
satanic stuff.
That the mama began to get sick. And whatever it is was trying to get in the mama, but it couldn't get in the mama because the mama's a Christian woman. And the mama started trying to vote and trying to vomit and said she was getting this taste in her mouth. I said that was an evil spirit trying to get in your stomach. And she started vomiting because she couldn't even swallow her own saliva. And the wife got the baby, who was for the other husband. The baby room is completely clean. And, like, there's something at the baby door that can't stop him, whatever they got in the house from going in the baby. But the son-in-law, the son, the mother's son, who married to this woman, can't even sleep in the bed with his wife.
Whoa.
The wife got stuff from some witch because she wants to control the husband. She wants the house. She wants his car. She wants his money.
Yeah.
And she went to this witch and got this stuff that she sprinkled all over the house. But I told the mother-in-law, said she got to go over there and clean the house. I said, well, you need to start the house from the beginning, from the front door to the back door. You need to clean the house all the way out. All the way out. And you have to invoke the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
I told her yesterday, I said, the only reason that they're not kicking you out, and I told her about the seven sons of Sceva, I said, because you got the Holy Ghost. I said, but if you didn't have the Holy Ghost, they would have knocked you out in that house. Then the sister and the daughter come in the house. Apostle, let me tell you, they're doing some witchcraft in that house. And they tell the mama, tell the mama, which is the boy's mother, that she needs to have a massage. The sister and the daughter, the two sisters, which is one's the daughter-in-law, one's the, you know, sister, the daughter-in-law sister, started stripping naked.
Mm-hmm.
Stripping naked in the house.
Oh.
And they were saying that you have to strip naked before you get the massage. You have to have a massage. So the mother-in-law, she said, Apostle, I want to tell you something. Come over me. I had to get out of that house. He said, no, I got to go over here. I got to get over here. I got to get over here. I said, well, you have to go back. And you go back. I told her, I said, you need to get some. Go to the Christian bookstore and buy you some kosher salt. And put the salt in every corner of the house. I said, remember when Elijah in Israel, the water became infected, and if you drink the water in the river or the lake, that you would get sick, and people would die. And Elijah told him to get some meal and get some salt, not meal, got some salt. And he put the salt, they put the meal in the pot for another time. But he put the salt in the water and healed the waters. I told her, you go to most synagogues, and if you know what you're looking for, and you look in the corners, you will see salt. It's kosher salt because it keeps them demon spirits away, you know. So she said, she's going to go out. She says, she's going to call some. Jesus said, this time only come up with fasting and praying. He said, well, I'm going on the fast, Apostle, because I can't let them take my son. And he works on a steamboat, you know, fixing the steamboats. And he got the word inside his belly. You know, he's been called. I've been prophesied over him when he was a little boy that he would be a preacher. But he's afraid. He said he read the Bible, study his Bible every day. but he makes a lot of money in the world. That's why I like that thing. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. But the devil is so smart that he'll get you so caught up on the earthly gifts that you somewhat end up tend to miss the heavenly gifts, you know, because we think that the earthly
right.
gifts are so important.
Right.
So I don't know. Just keep praying for them. Just keep praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Amen. Pastor, for the word, every blessed word.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God. Thank you, Apostle, for allowing us to come again.
We
appreciate it. We appreciate you for honoring us. Hallelujah. Thank you for how much we do.
Yeah, it was just me, you, and you all, and myself, and Deacon Fraser, and Sister Evangelist Lila out of California. It was just us. But she got off, so the line is open. The line is open. Anyone wants to come on in?
Deacon left.
Now, Deacon's still on the line.
Oh, so he's still on.
He's still holding on.
Everybody else gone.
Everybody's gone.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen, Brother Deacon.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Praise the Lord, yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for this beautiful day. Thank God for the Hump Day Wednesday. Thank God. Thank God for the beautiful day. Thank God all over the world. Could be a lot more worse, but we thank God. You got to praise. We just pray God on the line. Thank God on this church line. We thank God that those that came, those that didn't, Lord, that came that did not want to come, but we thank God we're going to praise him in the house. We're going to praise the Lord. I come here and praise
Amen.
Him. I want to praise all by myself. I got to praise all by myself. If the songwriter says, I have to go by myself, I don't want to praise him. I don't want to write cry out. I'm going to praise him. That's right. I'm going to praise him. And 2 out of 23. That's right. We just thank the Lord. We just thank the Lord for a beautiful day. Thank God. Thank God he blessed us to see another beautiful day, Wednesday. We just thank the Lord. We thank God for everything that has been said. Even though, like you were saying, and even though that dog don't want to, always act like they want to be with you, or they ain't trying to be with you. But we got to know God is with you. He with you all the way. He with you. Unlike the songwriter said, he with you all the way. He with you. God is with you all the way. If nobody ain't with you, guess what? God is with you all the way. God is the one. So we got to trust Jesus. And no matter what, who ain't with us, guess what? God is the one. We got to trust Jesus. Trust God. Trust the Lord. Trust Jesus. He's the one. He's the one. Even that door that turned their back on us, turn their back, they say they love you. They love you. But we know we got to mean it. What we say, a lot of them say they love it don't mean what they say. So a lot of times we got to stop
right.
telling the person we love and we treat them don't really don't mean it. Huh? Come on here. A lot of times we take
That's right, brother.
We take the love for granted, Apostle Calvin. We take it. We run with it. We take everything is so much for granted. We take God for granted. If we take a loved one for granted, we take anything we take it for. We take relationship for granted. We take husband and wife for granted, children for granted. Even some don't seem to understand. But even though we take the word of God for granted, and we know we're not supposed to take the word His word for granted, we ought to know this. We ought to know it.
That's right.
We take everything that's really not of God. we act like we said we're the law one man and that's men, but we're not. What you doing? I talk about a lot of times. What you out there going on cheating on somebody for? And you know you're not supposed to cheat on nobody. God don't cheat on us. Why are you gonna cheat on somebody? If you don't know you're gonna go out there and go cheat. We ain't gotta be gonna cheat on nobody. And God don't cheat on us. He don't. You know, we take everything for granted. You feel like the person don't mean nothing to you. Well, you, guess what? You ought to leave them alone.
That's right.
That person don't mean no good. You don't mean no good. You ought not be with them in the first place. That's the way I look at it. If they don't mean no good, you go get you somebody. Don't mean you no good. Because all they want to do is just run around. All they want to do is go run around. Don't mean no good. And they'll go out there and go cheat on somebody too. And you got cheated on because you cheat on that person. And guess what? The person you try to go with, they're going to cheat on you too. But we take every lie for granted. We take everything for granted. I don't care what we do. We take everything for granted. That's it. It's going to be enough because that's why you said it. You know, God is showing us something. God is showing us. Look what happened up in California. That's a wake-up call right there. That ain't what you will see. You see it up in California. This North California. And people
that's
don't believe
right.
it. This happened in Southern California, too.
That's right. They're experiencing judgment.
You what it said? If someone
that's
don't believe it, Apostle, they don't believe it. That's right. The judgment is coming. That's right. The judgment is coming. But someone don't believe it. And just like we talk about that football player, that Buffalo Bills safety, of course, that safety for the Buffalo Bills, guess what? He had a hospital now. He's out now. They released from the hospital. See, I know enough from God. All the prayers is working. God is working miracles. Working miracles in that man's, young man's life. He's working miracles in that young man's life. This is a professional football player. He's talking real good. I know it enough about God. Because, you know, that it ain't a doctor that done. That's God. That Dr. Jesus done that. He's keeping him. God is the one keeping that young man.
Yes.
He laughing well. God is keeping him. There ain't nothing to give God a praise. Ain't nothing to give God a praise right there. It could be happening to anyone.
Hallelujah.
But we think just because we think we supposed to sit there on the word of God, we think that we don't believe a judgment. Because judgment is coming. Yeah, it is coming. Because that's all. They ain't all what's going to happen. Because I hear people sit up talk about, oh, he's going to get better. Well, he ain't going to get worse. He's going to get worse and worse than you think. Because God is showing us something. He's telling us something. And we don't even believe it. They always talk about, yeah, you kick a dog around. But see, I talk about you can kick a dog around. Yeah, a dog get tired. God is tired. God is tired, Apostle.
Yes,
that's
he
right.
Is.
That's what the book of Genesis say. God is tired. It ain't my word. It ain't Bishop James, Apostle Linda, it ain't nobody's word. It's God's word. That's what Genesis say. And when you believe it, read it for yourself. It'll tell you God is tired. Because he's tired of it. And sometimes we gotta be careful how we mistreat your brother and sister. Talk to them any kind of way. We gotta be careful how we mistreat one another. And that's why we gotta be careful how we let people pray against us. Pray against them. Because they'll show pray against you. They show to pray. They'll pray against you. They'll show a prayer against you. I don't find that. Don't never let a prayer against you. A lot of things I found out. Some things don't never say amen to hallelujah on everything, because everything are not no hallelujah. Everything are not a hallelujah. That's right. I don't found that out. But I didn't know then till I found that out. I had to see it for myself. See, that's why we can't be being with people, being with people who don't like us, who against us. You know, even look, they hate on Jesus. Everybody ain't gonna like you. Everybody ain't gonna like nobody. Look, they hating on Jesus. But what you think? They ain't nobody gonna like you for who you are. Yeah, I always say a lot of times, Apostle Linda, Bishop James, yeah, it's gonna still be jealousy. It's gonna be jealousy in 2023. It's gonna be mockery. It's gonna be jealousy. It's gonna be backstabbers. It's still gonna have it going on. It's still gonna do the same thing they're doing now. They're still gonna do it. They're still gonna keep on getting mad at one another. They still gonna have that jealousy going on. That jealousy. Trying to get mad at one another. You still gonna have. Or bitterness in their heart. You know, I always say before, I ain't never got a grudge against nobody. Never had a grudge against them. No one. I ain't got a grudge against nobody. See, I never had a grudge against them. And even I see why church is in the shape. Some people have leave churches now. Some people leave, walk out of the church. Some people leave and quit. But what a preacher have said to that pastor and that husband. Because a lot of times we shouldn't get up on the podium and say something to offend that woman and that man of God. Because I understand what the woman of God, what they're going through. I would feel the same way, what they're going through. I understand why. A lot of them had to quit. A lot of them had to quit the church because they see what's going on. They see it's too much going around trying to hurt your brother and sister. And sometimes if you ain't going to say nothing nice to them, don't say nothing at all if you really don't mean it, what you say. That's right. If you're not going to say anything, you're not going to say nothing to encourage someone, don't say nothing. If you truly don't really mean it. And that's the truth. Sometimes we gotta be careful of what we say to your brother and sister. Cause we don't never know who here we may need. I don't never know who might help I may need. I never know. The way it is now, the world, it's still. The way it's going now, that's all what's going to happen. That's all what you're going to see. It's going to happen. Not only California, you're going to see it everywhere. We see everything that's going all over the world. That's why we gotta be thankful that we still here. We still alive. Still alive. With those we hear land name were gone on today. But we think no matter how much I pray, God, give God a praise, I'm gonna keep praying the Lord. Keep praying to God. No matter what, how bad they land, how bad they say something about me, I'm gonna keep on praising the Lord. I'm gonna keep on giving God a praise. I'm gonna keep on praising him. I'm going to keep on praising. Get on my business, start praying. Because that's what we need to do. We got to start praying. We got to pray. You got to pray for your loved ones. Yeah, preaching all right, but we prayer number one thing. That's why we got to pray. We got to pray because prayer is so important. Prayer is the number one key is prayer because God comes first than anything. Not your husband, the wife, the children, whoever they say, not your sugar daddy, baby daddy, or any kind. Outside dead, inside out dead, any kind of dead. I don't care who it is. Beat down dead, who else, whatever. God come first. God come first. And we wonder why we wonder how things are going the way it is now. You wonder how you gonna pay, wonder how you gonna pay your bills. We wondering why. We always complaining. You wonder why you ain't have any fix. You wonder why you ain't got no shoes to put on. You all be praying the Lord. Praying the Lord. Tell God thank you. Thank you for waking up this morning. And we came and you mean to tell me? Or you mean to say you want to pray the Lord? I can give God a praise. I'm going to open my mouth regardless. Now, they may laugh at me. I've had enough making fun of me in these churches now. I'm sure you go too. Because they'll do behind your back. It's like they'll talk about the bad behind your back.
That's right.
You know it's bad. Possibly it's bad to go talk about press behind their back. If I got something to say about you, I should tell you to your face. I ain't gonna say it behind your back. I'm gonna tell it to your face and just be done with it. But if I ain't got nothing to say about you, I would just go on and shut my mouth. Go ahead and shut up. Keep my mouth closed. Just shut up. Just shut my mouth. Don't get someone sitting down somewhere. If I too don't mean it. Yeah, that's a sin. I remember I used to do it too. I know how well I used to do it myself. That's why we got to start talking about on somebody. Well, I just pray God on the word, what I heard, what I enjoyed, I enjoyed it. What has been said, may God continue the blessing on the word have been said. What I heard, and may God continue to bless on the word. I enjoy it in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen and amen. Keep my family in prayer. My father in prayer. Everyone lift up in the prayer all over the world. Over the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 We pray for
him,
Deacon. Thank you.
Thank you
for your coming. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you very much. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Apostle, for your comments.
Thank you. Thank you, though.
Thank God for these anointed comments. God, we appreciate it.
Praise.
Thank God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Deacon, we are praying for your father. We're praying for your father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God is keeping your dad. He's still here in the land of the living.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Mm. Thank God for that. You hang the phone?
It's wide open, Linda.
Okay.
Okay, Brother Bishop. Thank you, Brother Deacon. And you can go ahead and pray and close us out.
Okay.
We will talk to you later.
All right. Okay.
keep our nation, keep our country in prayer, because so much stuff is happening that I tell you they're calling for rats and all kind of stuff. So keep them in prayer. Keep them in prayer.
Ration stuff, then, because they're so out of everything, water and food and everything. People are getting wiped out. Yes, for everybody. Just a ration what we got. The whole United States is under siege. If you notice, all over, we in Florida, from Washington D.C. Washington State, all the way to from Canada, all the way down to East Coast, way down in Florida. They've had storms, floods, and everything. And people are out of food, homes, shelter, water, everything. They just ration what you have. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
You can't help but ration.
Yeah, yes. Yes, it does.
A dozen of eggs is $10.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah, the dozen eggs went to $10. Yes.
Okay.
So, until we meet again, brothers and sisters, we pray that Deacon's gracious Father and all the people of the world, because the entire world is got things all over the world, things like we've never seen before, and they're going to get progressively worse, and we know this. So, when you've been warned, pre-warned to back off of doing stuff, but, people are very hard-headed. They told them not to go out there when the COVID first started. Don't go out there without a mask, and I'm not going to get it and all that. There are many people who died because they were hard-headed. Please listen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Until we meet again, brothers and sisters, God bless each and every one of you, and may God shine his light and his face to shine up on us while we're apart one from another. God bless, and amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
You didn't close the line, and the time is still going.
The line probably closed itself. You came out.
Thank you so much, Bishop and Apostle, for the word. Thank Deacon for responding. We are coming tomorrow. And then Freddie, I don't know about Freddie yet, but I have to go over to this house because they're the guy that we work together from time to time. He cut out the pipes and he messed up some treads, so one of the pipes are leaking in the basement. So we got to go over there on Friday, take it out, put some Teflon tape on it and some pipe dope, and put it back together. And hopefully that will take care of the problem. Anyway, I'll talk to you all later. God bless you. Have a blessed day, safe day. We're expecting some bad weather today or later today. So I got to go out and get some gas in my car because I'm pretty low. All right, so God bless you all and thank you again. And may God continue to smile upon you all and keep you safe and healthy and protected in his love. God bless you.